independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
100 days in office, so many accomplishments, lowered my golf handicap, my Twitter following increased by 700, and finally, we can shoot hibernating bears. My boys will love that.
Sir, here's a new bill that you must read immediately. It lowers taxes for only Republicans.
Can Fox News read it and I'll watch what they say?
No, you have to read it.
The new Supreme Court Justice, Ivanka, takes Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat on the bench. You can buy Ivanka's robe with gavel earrings for only 1,000 rubles.
You said you'd replace me with Garland!
God, this is horrible.
That right there is the Simpsons. They're taking a shot at the president and his 100 days, which will be officially 100 days. Ooh, in a few hours here. Maybe a government shutdown, maybe not, maybe all this stuff. We could be going to war. But you heard, that's the absurdity there. And that right there really says a lot about what a lot of people thought, right? We're going to go to war. It's going to be a nuclear war. He's incompetent of anything else. The guy is a failure. You know, I would, by the way, I would love to fail to the tune of $3 to $5 billion. Anybody else? Raise your hands. Okay. You know, it's insane. It really is. But so many people expected him to fail. And he hasn't. Has he had some bumps? Absolutely. Has it been a smooth ride of these first 100 days? No. No, it's not. Some of that, a good portion of that, has been him and his administration taking on fights where there didn't need to be some. Also, doing some stuff that you sat back and think to yourself, why? Why? Huh? Why are you doing that? Why are you saying that? But I'll tell you this, I gave him a B. I think so far he has come out and he has tried to lay out a plan and he's tried to follow the things that he said he was going to do. If you really thought the wall was going to be built in 100 days, Nancy, I have a bunch of stuff to sell you in our 57th state, Mexico. Wink, wink. I mean, come on. Did you really think that? You guys can't do anything. You couldn't build a wall if I gave you guys Lincoln Logs and or if I gave you guys Legos. You couldn't build a wall. Like, just a little wall, like 2-3 feet long. Nothing gets done there. Nothing. Where's the infrastructure? Where's the jobs? Please, again, slow your roll. It's all screaming and yelling. This president is facing something that many other presidents didn't get to face, which is a hostile media from the start. Fox, yeah, they were hostile to Barack Obama. And a bunch of the, I guess you say, the outliers in the media on the right side were. But the mainstream media wasn't. Even with Bush, the mainstream media didn't go after Bush and try to destroy him. The first, you know, 6, 7, 8 months, it was there was the honeymoon. Of course, then you had 9/11 the whole night. So this is one of those things where he came in with nothing but negativity from the media, and they have highlighted every misstep. I mean, this week, the perfect example was the trade. It's a first loss for trade when it comes to, you know, President Trump. Mexico is going to get $164 million because of practices over tuna. That's been going on for decades. How is that his fault? But that's the way it's pointed out. The right does it with talk radio, and it did it with Barack Obama. There was no fair shake there. And if anybody, look, I've got a lot of friends in this business. I will tell you this, none of them gave him a fair shake. No, none of them did. At all, for basically anything. They really, really didn't. But the mainstream media? Give this guy a fair shake? No way. They have decided that their goal is to be advocates, to be activists, to be players in the downfall of this presidency as best they possibly can by pointing out everything. I expect that from the other party, right? I expect that. I expected the Republicans to do what they did with Obama, be obstructionist. I expect the Democrats to be obstructionist here. I do expect that. What I didn't expect was the fact that they weren't going to allow him to grow into this and give him any kind of of, hey, let's let him have, 6 months. Let's let him get his sea legs under. Let's let him get his cabinet there. Let's see. Now, again, sometimes he does stuff to himself that cost him some negative press. I won't deny that. But when it comes to this, there's been issues for sure that they have, they have not. They're going to beat to death Russia like you could not believe. They're going to beat that thing to death. They're going to come after it every day. They're going to beat to death everything that he does. If they think he should have taken a right when he took a left, they're going to hammer him, even if he's not driving. It doesn't matter. They're going to pick on his tie. They're going to pick on his hair. They're going to pick on his mannerisms. They're going to tear him apart from top to bottom. Even if in 6 months, a year, 2 years from now, we've repealed and replaced Obamacare. We have sorted out the issues that came with North Korea and Kim Jong-un. We have fixed a good portion of trade. We've got a new tax system that seems to be working. If all of, and maybe we've even cut into some of the debt, and we're working hard on immigration, it still won't be enough because it's him. They don't like him. There you go. They don't like he is somebody they can't stand, right? Can't stand it. He's a misogynistic pig. He's an old white man. He goes against everything that the liberals, just every fiber in their body, they can't stand it. But you know what? What really matters is whether or not the people that voted for him feel what's going on, like what he's doing, because in the end, that is all that matters. You can write all the negative articles. You can say all the negative things. And let me tell you something. You listen to my show. I'm the first one. I don't kowtow to him, and I will go after him when need be. I will call BS when BS is there. But all that matters is on the days that voting comes around, if he still wants to be in this game, that voting is a part of it and that they still like him. Write all the negative articles you want. That's not going to sway people.
I don't know. We're moving awfully well. We're getting a lot of things done. I don't think there's ever been anything like this. It's a false standard, 100 days, but I have to tell you, I don't think anybody has done what we've been able to do in 100 days. So we're very happy.
He's trying. Like him or not, if you're honest with yourself, this guy's working his ass off. He's there 16, 18 hours a day. He seems to be going nonstop. And can I put this into perspective for you, too? We just talked to Darren Kavanoky. He's going to run across the country. He is 50 years old. I'm 46. I run, probably 10, 12, 14 miles a week, and I lift weights and do a lot of different things. I try to keep somewhat decent shape. And I work, 12, 14, 16 hours a day doing my stuff. He's a 70-year-old man who has the energy of a 25-year-old, and he's busting his ass, and he's outworking, yes, the Congress. It's something they don't talk about. They don't. Whole thing is interesting. But I tell you what, I've given him a B. I'm honest. I think he's had some missteps. I think he's got a few incompletes. I think he's had some good ideas, and I think he's doing some stuff that we're not going to feel for 6 months or a year, even when they get sorted out. That trickle down of, whether it's the tax situation or whether the repeal and replace or even immigration, it's going to take a while, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe several years before you really start to feel it. But the effort's being made. It is. And one other thing, while all of these pundits and all of these talking heads talk all the things that they do about him, understand that two things that he's trying to do right now, immigration and the fighting with Kim Jong-un and what's going on, are two things that the last three administrations have completely ignored and allowed to get to this point. And that includes the people that are in D.C. always, even when the president changes. That's your congressmen and women and your senators. He's cleaning up a mess that nobody wanted to touch. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Talking to my buddy in Great Britain, in London. Matt might head over for his 50th birthday this year, and he's a big hedge fund dude. Trades a lot of stuff. His company also invests in tons of stuff like mines. So I've kind of got like an in and a no, if you know what I mean, when it comes to like things like precious metals. And we were chatting about, I said, hey, dude, where do you think, because I was writing a blog, I said, where do you think that gold and silver may go? And he said, let me tell you something, man. He goes, supply, demand with gold the way it is, 2020, 2021, $4,000 an ounce. I said, what? So yeah. I said, no. He said, yeah. I said, I don't buy it. He said, no, absolutely. That's huge, people. If you ever thought about actually investing, not buying out of fear because you think the world's coming to an end, but actually investing, gold co-precious metals. Knowledgeable? Mm-hmm. Big time. Ethical, honest. They're going to give you the straight skinny. They're not going to try to scare you into buying stuff. Gold Co. is amazing. Having been a broker, still talk to brokers, and actually blog about stuff like this, I will tell you right now, it's a great way to diversify. And, oh, by the way, it's a great investment. I want you to give Gold Co. a call. I want you to check out BensonGold.com, right? First and foremost, what they're going to do is they're going to give you a free IRA guide. You check out Benson Gold. You're like, yeah, free. It's free. It didn't cost you a thing. And you sit down and you talk with them, and they'll show you what it's about. And you'll be thankful you did. That's BensonGold.com, BensonGold.com. You will love what they have to show you. And again, it's about the reality of investing, not the craziness that so many other places try to, you know, oh, you got to do this. No, this is about investing. BensonGold.com. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
I loved my previous life. I had so many things going. I actually, this is more work than in my previous life. I thought it would be easier. I thought it was more of a, I'm a details-oriented person. I think you would say that. But I do miss my old life.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Old life was different than the new life, but you've made history and you're the president now, and you thought it was going to be a little bit easier. I think you thought it was more about delegation, and that because, and this is one of those things where while he signs off on stuff and he'll put stuff out there, things that he wants to do, I think there's a lot of in the weeds and nuts and bolts that have to be dealt with. And I think he wants to handle the big stuff. I want to, you know, let's take care of North Korea. Let's fix trade. Let's get this wall built. Let's deal with immigration. And, you know, let's do some taxes and repeal and replace. I don't want to deal with the day-to-day of the parks. And I don't want to deal with the day-to-day of it's a lot of handshaking, a lot of baby kissing, you know? So what's next for the next 100 days? I'll tell you what's next. I think he's going to grow into this position. I think he's going to grow into it faster than people think. I think the opportunities that are going to present themselves to reach across the aisle and get some of this stuff done is going to surprise some people. But I think what you're going to see is slowly but surely this media, who's not a fan of him, is going to find out that these people are going to get bored with you hammering the president all the time. They're going to get bored with it because they're going to see that there's some changes and some work being done. And remember, while the likes of Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi and Paul Ryan and Ted Cruz and them do what they do, they would kill to have a 47% favorable rating. They would kill to have that. I don't even know where they're at anymore. They have slidden so they've fallen so far. We may need to, they may have fallen into the trash. 7%, 12%, crap, 10%? I don't know. They would kill to have 47%. So while they bitch, whine, and moan and do what they do, he came here to get things done. And over the next 100 days and through the end of the year and through his next, you know, 3+ years, I expect him to do that. I want my president to succeed. I've said that on numerous occasions, and if you want him to fail, then there's a different show for you out there that you should go find. And I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat. I want my president and my government to succeed, and I want them to do it with as little intrusion in our life as possible. They could do that, be super fantastic. But I think over these next 100 days that will turn into a year, that will turn into two, you're going to see him grow into this position in a way that I think will surprise people. Some of those naysayers out there will start to go, it's not as bad as I thought. And I think if the Republicans can get their heads out of their ass, which is a big ask, that really is, they may see that 2018 isn't going to be as bad as some pundits out there are predicting. But the time is now to start. His first 100 days, I give him a B. I wouldn't be surprised if the next 100 days, I give him an A. People say, are you pulling for him? Are you not? Well, I mean, are you not pulling for him? Do you not want to see him succeed? Well, and oh, over the next 100 days, I do not think that you are going to have your choice taken away. I do not think that everybody is a person of color is going to be rounded up and shipped back to somewhere. I do not believe that every rich person in the world gets to stop paying taxes and they'll triple the rates on the middle class and the poverty stricken. I do not believe that's going to happen. What I do believe is going to happen is the sea legs are going to come underneath him. He's going to feel good. He's going to grow into it. And 100 days from now, we'll be like, wow, this is a different guy from that January day. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, as always. Love it. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. John Hocking is going to join us next. We got a lot of stuff to talk about when it comes to millennials. They're an interesting bunch, aren't they? Kind of hard to get a read on some of them. Some of them I think are amazing. Other ones make you scratch your head, that's for sure. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Happy Friday, party people. Coming to the stage now, owner of rightwingnews.com, contributor to Town Hall, author. Got a new book out called 101 Things All Young Adults Should Know. John Hawkins joins us now. How you doing, my man?
I am extremely excited to be on your show. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it. So 101 things all young adults should know. What are some of the things these kids should know?
Well, you know, I did a non-political book, and one of the things I wanted to do was just cover a lot of the life mistakes I think everybody makes as they realize they made as they get older. Like one of my favorites is when I was 18 years old, I got to college. My first semester, my parents said they didn't want me to work. They wanted me to focus on my studies, so they gave me a small allowance. And I got a credit card in the mail, and it was pre-approved. And I was like, whoa, pre-approved credit card. These guys must be idiots because I'm 18 and don't have a job. So naturally, I made some really smart purchases like party supplies and pizza, racked up maybe $400 in bills, couldn't pay it back. Next thing you know, I started racking up interest and penalties. By the time I got done, I ended up paying over $1,000, most of it in interest and penalties. And before I could pay it back, it took years. And what I found,
by the way, party supplies, John, were not balloons and stuff like that, right?
I don't remember. You know, it's been a long time since I was in college, but it was probably something innocent like balloons or, you know, so whatever people or party hats, probably something completely innocent, certainly not liquor.
So yeah, right there is a perfect example, and especially now with kids, because you go on campus, man, a lot of times they got those booths set up. They're handing out credit cards to kids who are already going into $100,000 worth of debt. Hey, you might as well go into a few bucks more. What's a few dollars of debt amongst friends, right?
Absolutely. And they get these kids. They don't know any better. And it's not because they're dumb. And that's the whole theme of most of the book. It's not because you're dumb. It's because you haven't had the experience. I learned this stuff, and a lot of other people, incidentally, learned this stuff the hard way. Why not let somebody else make all your dumb mistakes so you don't have to make them?
Well, yeah. But that's like, you know, it's like being a parent. Like, no matter how many times you tell your kids don't do that, they sometimes in life have to figure it out for themselves. But there is a difference between, you know, don't touch that, it's hot, and, oh, by the way, don't go into, you know, $20,000 worth of credit card debt. We're talking to John Hawkins about his new book, 101 Things All Young Adults Should Know. You know, people who are center-right or whatever, they look at this younger generation as lazy, entitled. There may be some truth to that. It's much different. We don't quite get it. We understood what it was like to maybe be somewhat liberal when you're younger, and then as you get older, become more conservative. But I think a lot of this younger generation, this millennials, they get a real bad rap. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's a mixed thing. For example, I have a couple of millennials who work for me. Both of them are terrific. Now, the ones who weren't terrific, I fired. So I guess that helps. But now I think where that comes from is people see what's going on these campuses. You know, you look back at the Greatest Generation, and those people were overseas. They were fighting when they were 18 years old, risking their lives. And now we have people saying they feel threatened because someone they disagree with is speaking on their campus at an event they don't have to go to. And I guess I understand when people start talking about they're triggered and all the sort of thing that people say, well, they must be a bunch of snowflakes. And some of them are. A lot of them are good kids. I think we've just stopped teaching them a lot of the things they need to know to grow up and do what they need to do in the adult world.
And you talk about the poisoning of the minds in the liberal world and, of course, what happened yesterday at Berkeley and the subsequent, you know, canceling of the whole thing and now the lawsuit. It is a different time. You know, you talked about the Greatest Generation there. You know, when you're 16 and 17, these guys are storming the beaches of Normandy and Tarawa, and our 17-year-old kids are hoping they get a trophy for everything they do.
Yeah, and a lot of them are. They're getting those participation trophies, which those stink, by the way. You don't ever want a participation trophy. I think a lot of times the blame, and people don't like to hear this, but it's not on the millennials, it's on the rest of us, because we didn't teach them history, we didn't teach them economics, we didn't talk to them about morality because we didn't want to seem judgmental, we didn't teach the men how to be men and the women, the girls how to be women, and then we're like, well, everybody seems confused, I wonder why. Well, we didn't teach a lot of us, the only people who know that stuff, they know it because their parents or whoever's raising them slammed it into their head. We don't really push it in society anymore, and that's too bad.
Yeah, that is too bad. Talking to John Hawkins, his new book's called 101 Things All Young Adults Should Know. Now, give us the good news, though. You look at the kids out there. I don't know about you, but I look at them. I think they're a lot smarter than we ever were at that age.
Oh, yeah. There's so much more access to information. I mean, you know, when I was coming up, computers were just coming online and getting to be widely used when I was in college. So, now these kids have been on, you know, using a cell phone since they were 8. So they're very used to that, and they have a technological advantage, a Google advantage. They've just got to learn what they can do with all that information.
Yeah, they do. That, you know what? You can have all the information in the world, but if you don't know what to do with it, my dad used to say, you can be the fastest guy in the world, but if you don't ever leave your backyard and race somebody else, nobody's ever going to know.
Yeah, that's exactly true. Also, if you don't know where you're going, it doesn't matter how fast you're running to get there. So a lot of times – yeah, these kids are in bad shape. They don't know what's going on. And I think we have a responsibility not to go out and say, well, you guys are stupid and wrong and you don't know what you're doing, so we need to talk to you, but to sort of explain our values and the things we believe in to these kids to help them, to explain to why they were important to us and why they helped us. And I try to do that some with the book, and I know there's a lot of other good people out there trying to do that.
You know, you talk about trying to explain that. These kids, though, you know, we talk about the entitlement. We talk about, you know, we all knew it all when we were 20 years old. We were 15, 16, 17. We were going to live forever. We knew it all at 20. Do you think kids, you look at your new book, you know, 101 Things All Young Adults Should Know, and they'll be more receptive to it? Or like everything else, you feel like they're all going to it needs to come from their parents more than it needs to come from somebody else?
Well, you know, I have a tremendous advantage over their parents because I understand how it is. You get to be 50, you know, when you're maybe, let's say, 8, 9, 10, you think your parents are the biggest geniuses and they know everything and, oh my gosh, they're almost superhuman to you. Then you get 16, you realize, hey, mom and dad are just people like me, and I'm an adult now. I don't need to listen to them anymore. So what the book probably does, a lot of these things, I guarantee your parents will look at it and go, well, yeah, I agree with that. But you've already told them that, and it didn't stick in their head. When they have somebody else tell it to them, they go, oh, that makes sense. And I hope that's what's going to happen. I do think the values you get from your parents make a huge difference. And, you know, it's too late, though, to start pushing it on them when they're 17, 18. You got to get them young.
And, you know, you talk about their parents and the values, and that is one of the things that I preach here all the time. I'm a parent. I have a almost 7-year-old, and I'm 46 years old. And I look around, and I say to myself all the time, whenever we look at all these incidents that take places, whether it's the inner city or certain areas, no matter where it is, I can always say, where are their parents? That's what I want to know, because their parents aren't there. Very few of them make it out of a situation because they're looking for something else if their parents aren't there, and it usually leads to bad things.
I agree with you, and like a couple of chapters in the book, for example, I talk about how to deal with the police, because you're probably going to have to do that at some point. You would think everybody would know, but they don't. Or something as simple as, hey, don't put naked pictures of yourself online or anywhere else, actually. Just don't let your boyfriend take naked pictures of you. I mean, that's something you'd think people's parents would tell them, but they don't. And, I mean, that can backfire. I mean, there are so many cases where people break up with a girlfriend, and next thing you know, they're like, hey, you want to see some naked pictures of my ex-girlfriend? So you don't want to be in that situation.
No, you don't. We're talking to John Hawkins, owner of RightWingNews.com. Also, he's got a book out called 101 Things All Young Adults Should Know. And this is good for what age? You'd say like 16 up through mid-20s kind of area?
Yeah, that's pretty much what we're shooting for. Yeah, sorry, you could even go up as high as 30. I mean, really, I think there's stuff that almost everybody would pick up in there. But as you get older and older, a lot of this stuff you learn the hard way yourself. Like, I'll just give you another example. Don't loan your friends money, because if your friend needs money and to pay the utility bill, let's say, he's still probably going to need money next month, and he's going to pay the rent and the utility bill and those bills before he pays you. Next thing you know, 6 months later, you two hate each other because you're furious with him. He never paid you back.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Look, I agree. We look back, because you're a Gen Xer like me. We look back, and these are all things that maybe even our parents warned us a little bit about, but it's just common sense. But sometimes in life, man, no matter what you do, it's like, you know, it's like trying to hammer a nail into a steel wall. It just doesn't get into these kids.
Yeah, it can be tough. And a lot of times people don't think to warn them about these kind of things. They hit on these same themes over and over. And then they're like, oh, my kid didn't know this. Well, I can't believe he didn't know this. Well, he didn't know to ask you, and he didn't want to ask you, that kind of thing. So it's easy for stuff to slip past these kids and for parents not to have their kids as prepared as they could be.
Looking out, John, you know, this book's for them, this younger generation, this millennialist generation, and the generation Z after that. When you look at these kids today, what do you think 15, 20 years from now? Do you think that at some point in time, like we did, you know, again, if you're younger in our generation, if you didn't have if you weren't somewhat liberal when you're in your 20s, you probably didn't have a heart. And if you weren't somewhat conservative-ish in your 30s, you didn't have a brain. Do you think at some point in time there's going to be a light that comes on, and it's just going to be, instead of 25, it may be 30, 35 for these kids?
Yeah, that's definitely going to happen. I mean, look, the baby boomers vote Republican now. The hippie Woodstock generation will happen with these kids too. What I worry about, though, is that we've done a really poor job, the generations, us, our generation, the generation before us, with things like the deficit, stopping nuclear proliferation, so many things that these kids are going to have some real challenges coming up. And a lot of times people learn from just, you know, having a huge, terrible failure. They learn from, let's say, an economic depression caused by a physical collapse because we don't have enough money to pay our bills. I hate to think of those kids getting in that situation. And if they do, man, they're going to have to get resourceful in a hurry.
Absolutely. John Hawkins' name, his book's called 101 Things All Young Adults Should Know. You can get it at Amazon.com, bookstores near you. John, appreciate you coming on today, my man.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. And the best way for people to get the books, go to Amazon, look up John Hawkins, you'll pull it right up. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you so very much. Interesting. Again, you know, no matter how much we explain to kids, like everything, sometimes in life you got to experience certain things, and you could do your best. But I'm it's about parenting, man. It's about parenting. Everything comes back to parenting. It really, really does. Everything in life comes back to parenting. You want to raise a good kid? You can raise a good kid. But if you're not there to raise that kid, don't expect that kid to be good. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Little say, what? Next, Chad Benson Show.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
Say what? Guardians of the Galaxy, I think, comes out next week here. 58 countries around the world will be getting it this weekend. But starting today, you can listen to Fleetwood Mac, George Harrison, Sam Cooke, a new rap featuring David Hasselhoff, The Hoff. And oh, by the way, you can listen to this by buying a bag of Doritos, which you can plug straight into and hear the soundtrack. It's called Awesome Mix Volume 2. It's crazy. It's a custom bag. It's part of a larger collaboration between Frito-Lay and Marvel Studios that features the Guardians of the Galaxy. And if you watched the first Guardians of the Galaxy, first of all, it was hilarious. I loved it. I thought it was amazing. But the soundtrack was incredible. And I did not know there was a new rap featuring the Hoff. So that right there is great. Got to get some of that. So, but it's a custom bag. You can go to Amazon.com Doritos and play a role in a special Rock Out Loud's events in New York and Los Angeles. And I got to go find this. This is going to be, first of all, I love Doritos. Like, who doesn't like Doritos?
You know what they should have called it?
So delicious. What?
Now that's what I call Doritos Volume 1.
That's great. Now that's what I call Doritos Volume 1. What could David Hasselhoff, who did he rap with? Goodness me. Now, Producer Phil, you never saw that movie. It was like a big
movie. Of course not. It was based on a comic book. That's against my rule.
Yeah, it's a good one, though, man. It's like based on one of those comic books that not everybody knows. You know what I mean? It wasn't Batman or Superman kind of thing. But definitely have a chance to grab that little say, what? Now to the fun story of the week. This is great, right? Like, This is something my son would do. Like, I had to call him when I went and worked out today. I had to call him. And I had a great story yesterday. Yesterday, and I pulled it on him today. I went and I worked out, and he didn't feel good last night. He was up all night coughing. He feels fine. But his mom said, you know, I'm going to keep him home. And I said, okay. So I'm out working out, and his mom texts me. She says, will you call him and tell him he needs to take a nap? He's exhausted. All right. So I call him. Yesterday, I told him that we had Rob O'Neill on, of course, the guy who killed Osama bin Laden, you know, the Navy SEAL, and Jack loves Navy SEALs. It's the greatest thing in the world. So I told him, and he flipped out last night. He was just over the moon. Like, who is he? We were talking about him and everything. I didn't tell him that, oh, yeah, by the way, he walked in and shot this, you know, guy. I said he just took on a lot of bad guys. But I told him what he said yesterday, you know, the whole saying about the Navy SEALs, let's not quit today. We'll quit tomorrow. And so Jack today's whole thing was he didn't want to clean his room and he didn't want to take a nap. And I said, Jack, what did the Navy SEAL say? He goes, oh, let's not quit today. We'll quit tomorrow. You're right, Dad. And so he went and took a nap and he's cleaned part of his room. But it's just, you know, the little things like that. You meet your heroes. And I was allowed to pull the Navy SEAL card today and he went for it, but I could see my son doing this. And there's a little 7-year-old boy in Utah. His name's Nathan Anderson. He penned a letter. Wink, wink. He penned a letter, but really it was supposed to be from another place. Pretending to be his second grade teacher at Black Ridge Elementary School in Eagle Mountain, Utah. And this is what the letter wrote. Now, mind you, it's a second grade, a 7-year-old boy who's writing this to his parents. Dear parents, Nathan has been doing good in all his classes except for video game class. If he does not stay up all night playing video games, he will get kicked out of school. Start letting him stay up all night tonight. He can play anything computer, Wii, iPads, phone, and any other electronic from the school. And his mom couldn't stop laughing. I just love the part it says, from the school. That to me is brilliant. You know what? I'd let you stay up tonight. That's where I would look at my son and I would laugh and I say, I know school really wants you to do well, but I talked to them today and they said it's okay if you stay up just tonight a little later and play some video games. That's it. Ingenious. Absolutely ingenious. Happy Friday, everybody. It is the Chad Benson Show. You can tweet at me always at Chad Benson Show. You can text the program as always, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Feel free to do that. I love that. The school. Dear parents, let him stay up later or he'll get kicked out of school for not playing video games. The school. Happy Friday. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.